Hey students, this is Tripp. Thanks for joining us again for First 30 College Devotionals. I got some good news for you today. Number one, God loves you and wants the very best for you. No matter what, God loves you unconditionally and He wants the best for you. Number two, God wants you to discover and to live His best. He doesn't want to hide that from you. So the question today is, how exactly do we go about discovering and living God's best? Well, we see some great truths of how to do this in a story in Luke chapter 5, and it's a story often referred to as the Great Catch. It's about a fishing trip that changed the course of the Apostle Peter's life. Now, in this story, I think there are three specific defining moments through which Peter discovers and begins to live God's best for him. Let's look in Luke 5, starting in verse 1 together. It says, "One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. And he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and they were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon Peter, his owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. And when they had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish.'" Now here's the scene here. Peter, a professional fisherman, had been fishing all night long and had caught nothing. When Jesus told Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets," this made absolutely no sense. We're told that on the Sea of Galilee, fishermen would fish at night and they would fish in shallow water. So Peter responds by informing Jesus. He says, "Master, we've worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing." It's important to note here that when Peter referred to Jesus as master, the original Greek word that he's using here is a respectful title to someone who's in authority, but it is not an acknowledgement of deity. See, Peter reminds Jesus that he had worked hard, not just worked, but worked hard all night long, and he hadn't caught a thing. I imagine he was a little annoyed that a preacher, Jesus, was telling a professional fisherman, Peter, how to fish. But out of respect for Jesus, Peter reluctantly obeys. He says, "But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." Well, as he does this, we see the first defining moment for Peter. He responds in obedience to Jesus. Now, look at the result of Peter's obedience. In verse 6, it says, "At this time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking." Against the backdrop of Peter's failure, God shows him just what can happen as he does it God's way. Two boats filled so full with fish that they begin to sink. Students, always remember, when God directs our work, we see results. God's words can always be trusted. See, we put faith in doctors because of the qualifications associated with their title, MD, medical doctor. We put faith in pharmacists because of the letters behind their name, PharmD. Now, think about this. If you trust a doctor to diagnose a health problem and prescribe you medicine, and you trust a pharmacist to give you medicine that will help you and not kill you, because of the letters associated with their name, how much more can you trust the one who has the title, the name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? If there is anyone qualified to speak truth into your life, it's the Creator of life. That's why we say the Bible is a big deal. Look at what happens next in verse 8. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and he said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, sons of Zebedee, they were also amazed. So Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." The second defining moment here for Peter is when he acknowledges Jesus for who he is. In verse 8, notice what Peter called Jesus. Previously, he had called him master, clearly a term of respect, but now he calls him Lord. And the original word he used here, it means he to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding. It means supremacy. Peter now sees Jesus for who he is. He realizes that the one who can see the depths of the lake, the one who can look and see the fish at the bottom of the lake exactly where they are, can look and see the bottom of his heart. He changed his response to Jesus from one of respect to one of lordship. And notice what he does. He falls at his feet. And then he also took his eyes off of the blessing and he looked at the blessed sore. See, in the terror of realizing his sinfulness, Peter wants to get away from the Lord, but Jesus wants to draw Peter close. In verse 10, he says, "Don't be afraid." This is the absolute beauty of repentance. See, repentance is a place we exchange our sin for God's grace. Sometimes we view repentance as an ugly thing, when in fact, it is such a beautiful thing. Repentance is responding to an invitation to experience God's best. Jesus responds to Peter here and says in verse 10, "From now on, you will fish for people." Jesus not only receives Peter in repentance, he draws him close, but he tells Peter that he wants to use him as his instrument. See, Peter's life is changed when he gets Jesus right. It is all about Jesus. That's why we say Jesus is the biggest deal. Notice in verse 11, as soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed Jesus. The third defining moment in Peter's life in this story is he drops his net and he allows Jesus to direct his life. This response led Peter to forsake all and follow Christ. It shifted the view of his future, his career, his dreams. He left everything and followed Jesus. Jesus doesn't just want a place in our hearts, our lives. He wants all of it. He doesn't want us to fit him into our plans. He wants us to submit our lives to him. See, you may have dreams and desires, but he may have something way bigger in mind. At this point, Jesus took Peter from having an occupation, which means to take up space, to a vocation, which is a calling. See, God may not want to change your dreams for the future, but you know what? He may want to give you a different view of those dreams. See, your calling is to reflect the purposes of God through whatever vehicle he has given you. Because he is God, you can trust him, and in trusting him, allowing him to direct your path, you can experience his very best for your life. Before this life-defining fishing trip, Peter would have said that he was a follower of Jesus, sure, but it wasn't until he forsook all that he really became a follower of Christ, and he became on mission with Christ. When he walked off the beach that day, there was no doubt where Peter stood in his faith. Students, today can be a defining moment in your life as you acknowledge Jesus for who he is and as you respond in obedience to him. You don't have to follow Jesus from afar. You can intimately know him and receive his very best for your life as you allow him to direct your life. Don't forget this. As we acknowledge Jesus for who he is and we respond in obedience to him, we really can discover and we can live God's best for our lives. Be encouraged today, students. We love you. Thank you for the investment you're making in yourself through these first 30 podcasts. We're here for you. We believe in you. We hope you have the very best day as you live this out.